Now I invite you to please pray with me. Lord God, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Bring conviction to our hearts through your word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of the great name of Jesus. Amen. This morning's the final morning, beginning the final day of 2017. Tonight at midnight, we begin a new year. And every one of you has had many different experiences through this past year. I'm confident today that every one of you has had some good and some bad. Some joyful and some sorrowful over the past 365 days, in many different ways and means and measures among you. As this is the first sermon of the new year, or depending on your perspective, the last sermon of the old year, it doesn't matter. I want to talk to you today about recognizing the voices that are around us. Recognizing the voices. Recognizing the voices will help you understand appropriately to the messages that you all receive every day. And as you enter and experience each day of this new year, and as we're talking about recognizing the voices, I've got 3 points this morning: effort, 2 influences, and the 1 voice. Now, this past week, I got to spend with my parents and with my family. We went to Hilton Head and got to spend some time with my parents, and I was reminded of how much my dad loves me. My mom loves me too, but I was reminded of how much my dad loves me, that he's proud of me, that he loves spending time with me, that he loves me. For much of my childhood, I didn't feel that. Especially through middle and high school, I didn't feel my father's love as I didn't recognize the love in his voice, or his love in the things that he said to me. Rather than feeling loved, I received what he spoke as criticism, as nitpicking, as a message that I wasn't good enough. And I realize now that much of my loss there can be traced to my own inability to recognize my dad's love for me. Now, my dad grew up with a poor role model as a father. As he raised me and my 3 siblings, he sought to be the dad he never had. He sought to be involved, to give input, to be involved as we grew and matured into young men and women. He did everything he could to help us be successful. And he wanted us to avoid the mistakes that he experienced and that he saw in his own broken family. So he gave everything to that effort. Now, while I heard my dad's voice as critical, as being never satisfied, as always focusing on the mistakes, I realize now that what he was doing was expressing love to me in the way that he knew how. All I wanted to hear was, "Well done, I'm so proud of you." But then he'd give advice. Maybe focus on this next time, or focus on that. I remember pitching almost a perfect game, and he wanted me to work on my curveball after the game. I realize now that where I was receiving it as rejection and responding to it as such, he was expressing love, that he was proud, and that he wanted to be there with me to help. I reacted to what I heard was rejection, and I absorbed it when all the time he loved me unconditionally. He accepted me unconditionally, always seeking to show his love through helping and guiding me. I wish, looking back, I could have better recognized his love during my time with him during middle school and high school, recognizing his unconditional care and acceptance of me, always expressed in his voice. And I'm so thankful now that I'm better equipped and better prepared to hear it Regardless of what he says, I know his love for me and I can recognize it in his voice. Our first point this morning is effort. Recognizing what's being spoken takes effort. Because you'll always have your first response to whatever it is you see, whatever it is you hear. You have that first response. And you can choose to let that be locked in, or you can exert a little effort to allow yourself to engage in evaluating and recognizing, seeking to recognize and understand the voice that's being spoken to you. Recognizing takes effort. Not allowing your first response to establish your mindset. It's responding as you do, but then being open to additional information. And then being prepared to judge and respond accordingly to that voice. Now, in my own experience with my dad, I wish I could have heard his correction and advice with this ear towards recognizing. And instead of hearing nitpicking, I could have recognized, this is my dad who loves me, who's proud of me, who's always for me. And then I could have received what he was speaking to me in that heart of love. I'm sorry, this is a lot about me, but this is what God's been speaking to me through these passages. In this world, there are going to be many voices speaking to you every moment of every day. Some of them will be external, from family, from friends, from coworkers, from strangers driving in other cars. There are always external voices. But there are also internal voices that only you hear in your head and in your heart. Getting past your first reactions to those voices and engaging with this idea of effort in recognizing will greatly help you to hear the Lord's voice and to reject the voice of the enemy. And that brings me to my second point, that there are two primary influences that will be behind all voices speaking to you, clamoring for your attention. Behind all of the voices are either the Lord or the evil one. The Lord being for you, the evil one being against you. In every voice calling to you, encouraging or correcting, praising or demeaning, lifting up or tearing down, I propose to you this morning that you will either receive the influence of the Lord or you'll receive the influence of the evil one. And recognizing which one is speaking is crucial. Recognizing the voices. Our scriptures remind us today that you are not the center of the universe. That might be a shock to some. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus Christ, who was with God the Father from the beginning, creating all things that exist. And we were created to live in relationship with the Lord. Mankind, every man, every woman, young man and young woman here, you were created to live in relationship with Almighty God. As experienced through Holy Scriptures, triune, three in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You were created not just to live and then to die, but with purpose. To live and experience true life through a relationship with God, and then to spend eternity with the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ. Scriptures declare in verse 4 of our reading from John, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Jesus Christ, God the Son is life, and that life is the light of men. And scriptures also declare that many in the world will not acknowledge, many will not recognize that light, will not recognize his voice. Verse 10 of our reading from John 1. Jesus was in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. They did not recognize him. many still do not know or recognize Jesus. And in verse 11, Jesus came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. They didn't recognize that he was the Messiah. And then we come to verse 12, the great but. But to all who did receive him, to all who did recognize him, to all who believed in his name, he gives the right to become children of God, to be restored into right relationship with God the Father. This is the Lord, the Heavenly Father, who's loved each of you from the beginning, who knew you before you were born, who created you to live in relationship with him. And he sent Jesus in order for you to be restored into relationship with the Heavenly Father, in order for the effects of sin to be broken in your life. For all of that, we read in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that is what we celebrate in his incarnation. This is the Lord who sent his Son to live, just like you, to experience everything that you do, the pain, the sorrow, yet without sin, so that through faith in his name, you could have true life. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who's been calling to you every day, whether you've recognized it or acknowledged it or not. Perhaps you've recognized his voice before. Maybe today you're hearing it. Jesus calling out to you for the first time in a long time. Maybe you're hearing his voice for the first time. Jesus calls to every one of you this morning, and as he speaks, as the Lord seeks to get your attention, we have an enemy, the devil, who is also speaking and shouting and calling out in order to distract you, to drown out the Lord's voice, and to keep you down. The enemy, the evil one, speaks to you either that you're fine, you don't need Jesus, that this life is more important than religion. The enemy may speak to you, you're too far gone for God to care or for God to love you. The enemy will speak through shame, through regret, anger, through fear. Just as I allowed the enemy to separate me from my own Father's love through my own not hearing his voice of love, so the enemy will twist and malign and seek to keep you down. No one in this church loves you. No one in your family loves you because of what you've done or what you haven't done. The enemy wants you to think that you are not lovable. Recognizing the voices is the point this morning. While the enemy seeks to keep you separated from the love of God in Jesus Christ, every day the Lord calls to you. Through the Apostle Paul in our reading from Galatians, the Lord declares this in chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God's perfect time, God sent forth his Son to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons, to no longer be a slave, but to be an heir through God. And this is not just for men talking about sons. In the first century culture, adoption as sons brought with it all the rights and privileges. And more specifically, in the New Testament, it talks about we have the rights of the firstborn son. So male or female, Jew or Greek, slave or free here, you all can receive adoption as the firstborn son to be free. And that's the one voice. The Lord declares, this is who you are. You are beloved by God through faith in Jesus Christ, who God poured out his love, grace, and mercy toward you, sparing nothing for you. You are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. You are redeemed by God's grace, restored into right relationship with God. This is the good news of the gospel. You are no longer worthless. This is the one voice that you need to hear, that God wants you to hear each and every day. You are no longer a slave, no longer an outsider, no longer damaged. From our reading from Isaiah, you shall no longer be termed forsaken, but you shall be called my delight. The Lord's delight is in you. For the Lord delights in you. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. In Jesus Christ, you are cleansed, renewed, born again, anew, restored into right relationship, and you are an heir of God, adopted into the royal family with all the rights and privileges of the firstborn son. And this is the good news I want you to hear on this last day of 2017 as we move into a new year. The old has passed away just like the old year. The old is gone and new life is offered to you by faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, that new life must be accepted and received. It's there for you. It's a gift for the taking, but it must be received. Recalling what we heard from John chapter 1 in verse 12, the great but, as I called it. But to all who did not receive him, or to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In Christ, you have the right to become a children of God, an heir, but you need to exercise that right. There's a participation in God's work. You must confess your old life, repent of your old ways, and then exercise your right to be restored and renewed. In Christ, the one voice I want you to hear today, you have the right to become a child of God. That voice calls to you now, the voice of the Father through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, offering you new life, a new beginning, forgiveness of all your sin, restoration into the life and light of Jesus. And the enemy, the other voice, wants to keep you down with shame from past sin. Past sin that's been forgiven, but yet you still feel it. God says, you are a new creation in Christ. The old has gone. The new is here. This is an opportunity today for a fresh start at the beginning of the new year, to exercise your right to new life in Jesus for the first time, or to renew your faith, to renew your past decision to follow Jesus. And I invite you all now to bow your heads for prayer. If today you're sensing the Lord's voice strongly, for the first time or the first time in a long time, if you're sensing the Lord calling you to a fresh start and a new beginning, I invite you to pray with me. And in the quietness of your hearts, you can pray along with me or repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the King of Kings, God the Son, and I acknowledge you as Lord and Master. I confess all my past sin before you, and I ask you to forgive me. I ask, Jesus, by your blood, you would restore me into right relationship with God, that you will fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit for this new year, for this day, that you will lead me anew to walk as your follower, Jesus, that you will lead me into the new life that is mine, by adoption, in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. Fill me and lead me. Amen.